Morning, Claire.
Good morning.
What would you like to say about this, Claire? Where do you stand
all
on
I'm
this?
All I'm saying is, I worked from when I was 14. Dave was 60. But having said that, they got the pension. And I'm not getting anything off the government, paid the big stamp. And I'm getting nothing off the government that I didn't put into.
Yeah, this idea that pensioners are some sort of protected species and getting special treatment, you strongly disagree with that.
I never claimed any benefits in my life. And as I say, I had almost done. But I want to tell you something, Joel.
Uh-huh.
I am penalised for that. Because if I hadn't have done that, I would have had to get my pension brought up to what it should be. And they'd have had to give me that.
So the likes of yourself, Claire, and people
who are
people who are in the same position as you, feel as if you've served your time, so to speak,
and you've
earned the little perks like your fuel payments and your free public transport and the TV licences for the over 75. So there you go, Geoffrey. I mean, the likes of Claire, why should they not be repaid in some way?
I'm making a very simple point. We're talking here specifically about the state pension and whether it should be ring-fenced in terms of the compared to other parts of the economy. And I don't think it should be. I think that the state pension is increasing by too great a degree and is out of line with wage inflation. The fact is that people have only seen an 8% increase in their wages since 2008, and therefore pensioners should have seen a similar increase in pension over that period. It seems illogical to me that they should be given, for example, a 2.5% increase, which is what they got last year, which was higher than it would have been had it been linked to either inflation or wage inflation. That seems illogical.
But if they do get the increase, would you suggest that taking some of those other perks away, or would you leave those in place?
I think it's pretty much inevitable some of those perks should be taken away. It doesn't seem sensible to me that pensioners who are often, have a very good income. They often are not dependent simply on the state pension, but they also have earnings-related pensions, or indeed they may have a job.
That's what I'm telling you, I don't have.
What do you say to that, Claire?
Just because I worked all my life, I am getting... You want to take it off me? I paid for whatever
I'm not suggesting
getting.
I take anything off you.
I'm saying you want to reduce your...
No, I haven't said that at any point. At no point have I suggested that pension should be reduced. All I'm saying is that they should be increased in line with wage inflation. In other words, in line with the rest of the economy.
David's in Randallstown this morning. Thanks, Claire. Morning, David.
Good morning. There's an awful lot of talk about reducing the pension scheme, or they're not worth the 2.5% that Cameron says he's going to allow over the 5-year period of his.
Yes, the argument is that if wages and benefits aren't going up by 2.5%, David, then pensions shouldn't go up by 2.5%. What do you think?
I think an awful lot. I'm in my 90th year.
Uh-huh.
I left school at 14 and worked right on until I was 65.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid much tax to keep people like you to get third level education and university degrees free of charge. Remember that.
Yes.
And maybe your parents before you also enjoyed free education up to and including third level and got university and degrees. It's people like in my generation and perhaps the generation before me. And we come through the war, we come through the blitzes, we come through everything, and we suffered poverty.
So do you think, David, some people don't value the contribution that pensioners have made enough?
That is quite correct. You've hit the nail on the head. And this is what's wrong. And the many, many young people, when they get degrees, including a couple of my own grandchildren.
Many of them now, David, have to pay for them and they're leaving with a debt. But you're talking about a previous generation who, as you say, didn't have to pay. Yes.
And the generation perhaps between you and mine.
Yes.
They were spoon-fed and a lot of them run about now and they would tramp on the pensioners if they could. I have a free pass ticket, but I've never used it.
Yes.
But having said that, there's more and more people I have a company pension. It's not a big one. But along with that, my wife died December 2012, and I'm living here in my own.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, it's very difficult to make ends meet if you live properly and eat properly.
So bearing all that you've told me in mind, I'm trying to read between the lines, but what you're saying to me this morning is 2.5% isn't a lot to ask.
It's not an awful lot to ask, no, because every time you go into a superstore or anywhere else to buy anything, I paid £60 for a pair of trousers recently. I'm taking Gaviscon tablets ever since. I haven't got over it.
Were the good trousers, were they?
For a pair of trousers. I could have bought, in my young day, I could have bought two suits for that, or less.
David, thanks for calling this morning. Glad you're listening. David's probably representing a large bulk of opinion, Eddie.
Yeah, absolutely. And the comments from David and Claire beforehand are very much match what we hear on the ground when we go out to our pensioners' parliaments. The reality is the pension it's not a benefit, it's an entitlement. People have paid into it for many years. And to come back on Jeffrey's point, we would agree that pensions should have been linked with wages. The reality was, Joel, that link was broken in 1980. So pensioners for 30 years have been falling behind the rest of society.
So as opposed to being ahead, you feel they're actually playing catch-up?
They are well behind the rest. They are big-time playing catch-up. And that's why we're saying these things like the winter fuel payment, things like the TV licence, are essential perks that the pensioners need to have.
When you weren't hearing any guarantees from the Prime Minister yesterday, were you sort of sitting uncomfortably in your seat in terms of what... Because that's what the hands-off campaign's all about, obviously.
Absolutely, Joel. The hands-off campaign is about asking the political parties, all of the parties, to give a commitment for the next election that the winter fuel payment will be kept, because it's something that pensioners need. And we know that keeping warm in winter is the number one issue for older people here, and it's something that really the government, all the political parties, have to sign up and commit to doing this, because it really is a matter of life and death. Those figures that we're quoting are not our figures, they are government figures. 31,000 excess winter deaths.
Yeah, and I know we're not going to get any sort of agreement on figures, but I want you both to stay with us because there are a lot of calls on this. 0845955678. Brian's in Bangor this morning. Morning, Brian.
Good morning to you.
What do you make of what you're hearing this morning, Brian? Do you think 2.5% is a lot to ask for the pensioners?
Well, the point I want to make is that one of your people debating this, Jeffrey, is it?
Jeffrey Peel, yes, he's there. He's still there. You can speak to Jeffrey this morning.
Makes the government's false claim that the spending on the NHS has been ring-fenced by this government. That's utter nonsense. Everyone knows that the NHS needs something like 2-3% above the normal inflation rate because of the increasing costs each year of the NHS to the growing number of pensioners and also the growing costs of medicines and procedures.
Well, let Jeffrey come back on that.
That's what I want to say. The main point is that besides that, this government has required the NHS to make efficiency savings of $4 billion a year. Well, everyone knows that efficiency savings is a euphemism for cuts. That means £20 billion over the lifetime of this government. Now, Stephen Dorrell, the chairman of the Parliamentary Health Committee, who himself was a Tory health secretary under Thatcher, he said that no other comparable institution in the world has been required to make savings such as that.
Okay, Brian, I'll let Jeffrey come back because there are other callers waiting. But Jeffrey, quickly, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, the point that I would make here is that something has to be done with the level of government spending, and Osborne alluded to that today. He hasn't cut nearly as draconianly as he's going to have to. The levels of debt in the UK economy are gargantuan, $1.4 trillion, and the policies that he's pursuing at the minute don't appear to be having as big an impact on government spending as is required in order to reduce the amount of dependency and the amount of interest that we're paying.
Something has to
is that we that all departments will have to see reductions in spend. And it's a terrible factor, but for every department that sees either a maintenance of spending or an increase in spending, it results in another department having to suffer. But quite honestly, it's going to have to happen right across the board. There is a vast amount of waste in the NHS which could be stripped out. There has been no really effective measures to reduce that level of waste, but something's going to have to be done soon.
Something has to be done. The same old Tory line It's a political decision, not an economic one. It doesn't. The situation doesn't necessarily require.
But if you had,
the Prime Minister said yesterday, it's a choice based on values.
Well, it's a political. The alternative is to tax more those best able to bear it. The fact is that spending on social service in this country, by comparison with the richer countries of the EU, is pretty low. We spend over the last few decades under any government. The take from tax out of the national income is around the mid 30s.
Okay.
The Swedes at one stage were spending 50%.
Yeah, we had some 15,000.
They get much better.
Can I just make the point?
Than we do.
Okay, Brian. Let Geoffrey come back, and then there are other callers waiting.
We have 15,000 civil servants in the United Kingdom that are paid more than the Prime Minister. Certain things could happen in terms of reducing the amount of spend in departments.
Well, what's that got to do with... Wayne Rooney earns £300,000 a week.
The market dictates his salary. People go along and watch football matches.
Brian, you've had a good rattle at it. I want to give a couple of other callers a chance because we're coming up to the news, but thanks for calling, Brian. Margaret's in Belfast waiting patiently. Hello, Margaret.
Good morning, Joel. Joel, see what they're on about the pensioners now.
Yes.
And the pensioners are entitled to everything that's going for them, because at the end of the day, now I'm coming up to a pensioner myself come in April, and I'm waiting to join the pensioners' parliament. At the end of the day, pensioners have worked all their lives. They worked two or three stamps, whatever. I myself worked two jobs. I left school when I was 14, 15, and I never was out of work from day one. As soon as I came out of school, I went straight into work. I went to work non-stop, should it rain, hail or snow, and if I had a cold, whatever, I still went to my work. And see, the pensioners nowadays, they're almost getting shoved aside that nobody wants to know about them. They're just because they're a certain age.
So it's what David was saying earlier then, Margaret, that, you know, there's a sense maybe from pensioners that from a lot of other people that they're not particularly valued.
Well, they're not. And why give the pensioners one hand and take off from another? That's not right, doing that. That's not right. Pensioners are entitled to everything that's going for them, no matter what, because this is a new generation, a younger generation, call it put than I. And at the end of the day, they're all babies coming out of school. They're getting houses, prams, this, that and the other. They're walking about with prams, shopping, this, that and the other. And where are they getting all the money from?
Okay.
Pensioners have to fight for their rights.